He was perfectly willing to disassemble the loyalty of his own disciples and reassemble a new loyalty in their hearts to the Son of God.
That was Dr. Doug McLaughlin, our speaker on Living Redemptively, a daily program featuring messages from God's Word designed to help you have an authentic walk with the living God. Dr. McLaughlin served for many years as the pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota, and has also served as a Bible college and seminary professor, and has traveled around the world speaking at pastors and educators conferences. We invite you to join us now as Dr. Doug McLaughlin shares today's lesson.
One of the aspects of Christ's character that is particularly meaningful to the New Testament believer and to the New Testament author is the presentation of Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God, as the Lamb of God. In this passage before us, beginning down here in John chapter 1, in verse 35 and following, in this passage before us, we have a presentation of Christ, the supreme wonder, in the facet of his nature as the Lamb of God. We have here the opening of his public ministry and power. It's beginning to unfold. And we're given here an insight into two seekers who are solemnly and diligently seeking out our Lord Jesus Christ. And John gives us some very powerful insight into that which they find. And once they've sought out the Lord Jesus Christ and found him, and experienced personally the transformation that only he can bring into a man's life, only he can bring into a woman's life, into a young person's life. Once they've sought out and found and experienced that transformation, it becomes their immediate occupation to begin sharing with others what they have found. I would suggest that every person, under the hearing of my voice, needs to come to appreciate and respond to Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God, and then share that good news with others as God opens opportunities and opens doors. Every person ought to, needs to, come to appreciate and respond to the Lord Jesus Christ as the Lamb of God, and then share that good news with others. And I want you to notice with me this very precise twofold progression in the passage before us. First, there is this searching for Christ, who is the supreme wonder. And then there is, after seeking him out and finding him, there is this sharing of this Christ, who is the supreme wonder, the sharing of this Christ with others who so desperately need to meet him. We want to look at this idea of searching for Christ, the supreme wonder. And I think that's the substance of the material in verses 35 to 39 of John chapter 1. Searching for Christ, and then later sharing this Christ in verses 40 to 42. Now, as I look at that passage, there are three things that stand out to me. They may help you to understand the flow of thought, and they may help you to appreciate our Lord Jesus Christ a little bit more as we study this significant insight into his character as the Lamb of God. The first thing I see in this passage is the perception of John the Baptist, and that is in verses 35 and 36. He's very perceptive in his identification of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the second thing I see is the pursuit of Jesus by John's disciples, and that's a little further on there in verse 37. And the final thing I see is the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, his concern and his love for those disciples as he turns to meet their needs and speaks a word to them that they so desperately need to hear. I see the perception of John, the pursuit of Jesus by John's disciples. It's a simple little biographical step there. And then the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ represented in two things as he turns to meet their needs. Now let's analyze that for a moment. The first thing I see is the perception of John the Baptist. Do you notice he says, again, the next day, after John stood, and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, behold, the Lamb of God. Now, as always, we see John the Baptist pointing beyond himself. He was always pointing away from himself. He was a powerful individual. Of all men, born of women, there has not been a greater, said Jesus, than John the Baptist. But John was always pointing beyond himself to that very significant personality, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he speaks something, you notice, to two of his disciples. I think that's significant. These were his disciples. They were loyal to John. They were followers of John. They were his disciples. And I think that John knew very well that as he spoke to his disciples about Jesus, in the way that he identifies him here, that he was, in effect, inviting his disciples to leave him and transfer their loyalty to the Son of God. And to him, that presented no problem. Now, that's a revelation of the character of John the Baptist. It's a revelation of the absence of selfishness. It's a revelation of the absence of an ingrown attitude. It's a revelation of the presence of love for the well-being of those around him and of loyalty to the Son of God. It presented no problem to him to point away from himself and toward the Lord Jesus Christ. He was perfectly willing to disassemble, so to speak, the loyalty of his own disciples and reassemble a new loyalty in their hearts to the Son of God. There's perhaps no harder task in all the world than to take the second place when once the first place had been enjoyed. John was that prominent personality, that forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. His ministry had been initiated before Jesus himself. He was a significant factor in introducing the Son of God to Israel and to the world. He had had a position of prominence. He had had for a moment the first place, but he was willing to relinquish it as he pointed to the one who deserved that place, the Lord Jesus Christ. As soon as Jesus emerged on the scene, John never had any other thought than to send men to him. And that's exactly the spirit that ought to captivate every one of us. Jesus Christ has emerged on the scene. God has invaded our planet in the person of the Son of God. Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the carpenter's son, is the Son of God and God the Son. He's the Savior of the world. And he has dawned upon us. He's emerged on our personal scene. He's invaded our personal life, and there ought to be nothing other that we would rather do than to point people to him, introduce them to a personal relationship with the Son of God. Now, I said that John was perceptive. He was perceptive in the sense that he was willing to transfer the loyalty of his disciples from himself to the Son of God. He was perceptive in his visualization of Jesus. How did he perceive of Jesus? Do you notice it here? It's in John 1 and verse 36. And if you back up just a few verses, you'll hear what he said the day before, precisely the same thing, essentially the same thing, with a little more detail in verse 29, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." John was very perceptive. There's a whole host of theology and practicality in that statement. "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." He was very perceptive as he looked at the Lord Jesus Christ. What do you see in that expression, "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world"? That was a message he was announcing to his disciples. That was a summons for them to follow the Son of God and to leave him behind. What did John actually see? What do you see in that expression? I see five things very briefly. "Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." The first thing I see is human observation. Behold. The second thing I see is a sacrificial implication, the Lamb. The third thing I see is divine ordination, the Lamb of God. He's divinely ordained. He's genuine. He is not an inauthentic individual. There is a genuineness there. The fourth thing I see is a permanent expiation. He taketh away the sin of the world. The fifth thing I see is a universal application. He takes away the sin of the world, the entire world. Now, there's something I want to say about each of those for just a moment. First, John says, "Behold." Now, that's a powerful imperative. That's a little Greek interjection, but grammatically, it's an aorist imperative. It's a command. It's a summons to look in the right direction. And the implication is that some of us have failed to look in the right direction. "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Literally, you could translate that, "Start beholding." An aorist imperative could be translated, "Start beholding." It suggests the initiation, the beginning of an activity which before we had not engaged in. It was a summons, a command to look toward the only one in the entire universe that can meet the deepest needs of the human anatomy. It was often used, that little interjection, it's just a three-letter word, ideh, if we transliterated it, is often used to introduce something unexpected or that would induce astonishment. And that's precisely what was the case here. The carpenter's son is the Savior of the world. Behold him. The baby in the manger is God in the flesh. Look to him. He'll meet your needs. It's also used to introduce significant statements of great importance. And I think there's probably no more critical issue in all of life than that of beginning to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. I think perhaps there's some of us who need to behold the Son of God in his capacity as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. There's some of us who need to look with the eye of faith up into the face of Jesus Christ and bring ourselves under the protective covering of his shed blood. There may be some of us who are Christians who need a renewed vision. It may be that that imperative comes to us as well as the children of God. Behold Jesus Christ, look up into his face in a new and a fresh way. Maybe some of us have come discouraged. Some of us have dissipated our emotional and our spiritual energy and drive. Maybe we need to be revived. Maybe we need to look up again into the face of Jesus Christ and see the Lamb of God who paid the penalty for our sins and see the all-sufficiency of the Son of God to meet our needs. Maybe we need to be reminded that we are facing no problem bigger than our Savior. He's bigger than any one of them. And he has the capacity and the power and the desire to meet every one of our needs, no matter how difficult the pressures might be. He's anxious to do it if we'll just trust him. Do you have needs? Look at Christ's resources. That's what John was saying. Do you have needs? Look at Christ's resources. Do you have questions? Look at Christ's answers. Do you have weaknesses? Look at Christ's power. It can transform your life. Human observation, behold, is a sacrificial implication. Not only human observation, behold, but he says there's a sacrificial implication. Behold the Lamb. You know, there's a scarlet thread from Genesis to Revelation. The shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in one way or another, from Genesis to Revelation. From beginning to end, altars were built. Animals were slain. Blood was shed, conveying the unmistakable message that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. In the beginning, it was one lamb for one man. Genesis 4, 1-5, Abel. And then it was one lamb for one family, the Passover lamb, Exodus 12, 3-14. And then it was one lamb for one nation, the Day of Atonement, Leviticus, the 16th chapter. And ultimately it was one lamb for the entire world, the efficacy and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ's blood is an atonement adequate for the sins of all the world. Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world.
Thank you for listening to today's edition of Living Redemptively with Dr. Doug McLaughlin. Dr. McLaughlin served as the senior pastor of Fourth Baptist Church in Plymouth, Minnesota. For more information on Fourth Baptist, visit their website at fourthbaptist.org. That's fourthbaptist.org. Living Redemptively is produced in partnership with Harvest Ministries on the island of Guam. If you'd like to receive a copy of all the messages in this series, or if you have any questions about what you've heard, we invite you to contact Living Redemptively at P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. That's P.O. Box 23189, Barragata, Guam, 96921. Or call area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. That's area code 671-477-6341, extension 360. You can also download this program in a daily podcast. Learn more at hbcguam.net. That's hbcguam.net. Finally, if you'd like to email Living Redemptively, send email to khmg@hbcguam.net. Thank you for listening today, and be sure to tune in for the next edition of Living Redemptively, helping you to live an authentic Christian life.